Hello, listeners, and welcome back once again to the Dual Screens Podcast, the world's number one indie dev interview podcast. Probably, hopefully, maybe, definitely, probably not. Anyway, joining us this week, this is a very fun discussion, I feel. It's going to be an amazing one, one for the books. Joining us is Jaden Torres, Community Manager for Team Resurrected. A project, a team, a thing that I will admit I know very little about. But he's here to explain to me. So again, I usually am more prepared for these things, but there's like asterisk caveat to this whole chat. So I will let Jaden kind of intro himself, what he is, what is Team Resurrected, what are they doing, and why they're on this show. So Jaden, you can take it away, buddy.
All right. Thank you. Hello, everyone. My name is Jaden. I am the community manager for Team Resurrected. Last year is a big thing for us. So last year is a asymmetrical action horror game. Actually, it started off as an asymmetrical, mainly horror, and then action secondary. It got its really big jump off of Kickstarter just to see if people would be interested in the title. And then that got submitted to the CMF, the Canadian Media Fund, since it is a Canadian-funded game. It started there with Elastic Games and James Waring and a few people, and it turned into this whole big thing. And, you know, and they collaborated with Discord when the Discord store was still a thing, if anyone remembers when that existed.
Discord store?
Yes, Discord store.
What was the Discord store?
The Discord store was like a small marketplace. It's when Discord was still in that like very like, oh, we're four gamers type of phase in their life, and they were trying to figure out how to monetize that, and they were in that phase, and they wanted Last Year the Nightmare to be kind of like their flagship for the Discord store, and they gave them a pretty hefty deal. I don't know if the numbers or anything, but they gave
them some flashbacks of those ads.
But they gave them a pretty hefty deal. They did a lot of advertising for them. They really pushed Last Year as their big main thing, and that's how Elastic really got Last Year out of the door. And then you know, they fell through with Discord, and Discord store kind of failed. Everyone knows about that. It really just flopped. It was just kind of there, and then poof, within a year. So that made Elastic reconsider a lot of things, and then they started moving over to Steam like full time, and then they relaunched the game with After Dark, learning from a lot of their mistakes, adding in new content, and it presented a new shift for Last Year, where it focused more on the action more than the horror. And you know, that's how we are up here now. Sadly, Elastic went through a lot of troubles with funding, and that's how it ended up being bankrupt. And you know, that's where Team Resurrected came in. We Last Year has a very dedicated fan base. Absolutely love the game to bits. They take it super seriously. They love it. There's, you know, people really get into the lore, the characters, what they would love to see, you know, their own ideas of it. It's a very engaging community, and there's really like no other, especially in a niche like this. You love to see communities like that. It's a very niche genre. Asymmetrical horror is not very like mainstream, although we do have a lot of these big horror IPs coming in. It's still not very mainstream. It's very niche. So it's great to see that we have a loving and engaging community. So we were like, okay, even if there's only going to be like a little bit of us who are going to play this whole like resurrection mod thing, like let's try it. And at first it didn't really seem like it would go anywhere. We couldn't really figure out how to get it to work. I'm not a programmer, but you know, I was mainly in contact with our developers, and they were like, yeah, we don't think we can get this to work. And then we actually tried an older build of the game, and it actually got to work. And then we started moving it over to the modern build, because that's kind of the best version of Last Year, the more modern builds. So we got it to work there, and you know, it turned into this whole huge thing where Undaunted saw opportunities in it, and they're like, wow, there's actually a dedicated community. And that's where Undaunted came in and actually bought the IP. So Team Resurrected actually kind of had a hand in bringing back Last Year. We didn't even think of that. We were just kind of like, oh, let's just make this game playable because we love it. Even if there's only going to be like, what, 50 people max who play it, you know, that's more than a win for us. Like, we didn't really care about the numbers. We didn't care about who really was looking at it. It was really just for us. It was a really big fan project, like just for us, because we're so dedicated, and we're just glad that it really blossomed into this thing that we didn't even think could happen. I mean, even when we dropped that trailer, we didn't even think that it would blow up to the way that it did. 150,000, I think it is at right now. It's insane to think about, like all the comments that we get and all that. And we just really appreciate that, and we're super grateful for that. Like, it's amazing. We couldn't have thought that it could ever go this way, and we're just happy that it did. So that's kind of like the background. I know it's
lot to digest because it's a game. We're talking about a game because, you know, I follow horror games very closely because it's my favorite genre. And, you know, this game last year kind of it cropped up when games like Dead by Daylight were first getting their foothold, like in the conversation, and the Jason multiplayer game, same thing. They were all like kind of like at the same time coming out. And I was following last year for a very long time, but then like it went from when's it going to come out to I missed it completely because now I just can't even play it. Remember, it's on my Steam library and I couldn't even play it. I was like, why isn't it working? What's going on? I just want to try the game out. So essentially the timeline here is there's the game. It doesn't do well. There's studio issues. You guys refuse to let the idea die, essentially. You want to keep it going. The passion is that strong. And that fire, that love for this game made another publisher say, you know what? There's something here. There's a community here. Let's invest, get these rights, and make sure that this is still an ongoing franchise. Is that like the essential?
Yes, you got it down basically, but I gave a little more details for the people who want to get into it a bit.
So, I think what I really want to ask you is why couldn't you let this thing die? I mean, listen, I'm sure everyone's like grateful that fans of the game are like, shit, it's still a thing now. But why, what made you and the whole team say we refuse to let this thing go? It needs to be playable. We have to keep it going. What brought you all together as fans to do this project?
Well, what really brought us all together was just the amount of fun we had on last year. Like we played Dead by Daylight. Like I've played a bunch of hours on Dead by Daylight. Right. I'm not really a big Dead by Daylight player anymore, but I played it competitively. I really got into like the whole scene of it and I didn't really enjoy it after a while. Like after a while, I was like, this is not really for me. And I tried some other ones. I tried Hide or Die. I really enjoyed that, but Hide or Die is no longer really around, sadly. And I've had some other ones as well, like White Noise 2, even the more obscure ones, the more like very small ones. I've tried all of those. They're amazing. They're great games and they have pushed the genre really far. And, you know, without those games, the genre wouldn't be where it's at. But last year is what really stood out to me, especially to me and the rest of the team. Like it was the one that really captured all of us. And we were like, yeah, this is the one that we love, that we want to keep playing no matter what. Like no matter if there's a new one coming out, you know, we're always going to come back to last year. Like the characters really captivated us, the gameplay loop, everything about it was just amazing. And like, we just saw the potential in it. And we were like, well, even though we can't make new content for it, or like, we don't want to risk making new content and kind of operating in a gray area, we can still bring it back and we can still enjoy the game. At least like the gameplay loop is enough to justify coming back to the game, just alone. Like adding content would just be like a miracle or a dream to come true, but it's not like a necessity to make the game keep going. And I think that's what last year really has going for it, is that you have already so much content just jam-packed, so many things that you can unpack from this very triple I indie game that you just don't really see every day in that genre. Especially, it's very niche, and even then with indie games, like it's incredible what last year was able to do. Being an indie title, it's incredible. And we were just like, man, we don't want this to go. Like, even if no one's gonna really pick it up, no one's gonna really care, you know, at least we do, and you know, we'll make it known, and you know, we can always come back to it. You know, there'll be people here that, you know, it's like, oh hey, I kind of feel like playing last year, hey, we could play it at least, you know. I remember there was a time like every day, me and mainly from those people in Team Resurrected, we would play the game every day. Like even if there was only like 20 players online, like we would just sit there in the lobby for hours just talking on Discord while, you know, just waiting for a match. Like that's how much last year like meant to us. So like we were not willing to let it go. Like it means too much to let go. It's really that like game for us, basically. That one game that really speaks to you the most, that you always come back to. Everyone has that game, and that's what that game is for us at Team Resurrected.
I'm not like an intense Dead by Daylight fan. I would say I put like maybe 200 hours into that game, which isn't a lot at all because the game's been out for 1,000 years at this point. What does last year do differently in such a way that, what's the satisfying part of the gameplay loop? What's the one thing that if you were trying to sell this game to me as, never played it, but I understand what the mechanics and what the genre feels like or how it's supposed to play out, what's the main draw of the gameplay in last year?
The main draw of last year is that combat and how that combat is handled through the craftables and your class systems. Those are the biggest parts of last year. You have so many. I compared it a lot to Hitman, actually. So if you're familiar with the Hitman franchise, you're kind of given these tools to approach your target, to kill your target in any way possible. And it creates so much replay value. And you're kind of like, oh, what if I kill my target in this really stupid and dumb way? And then when it works, you're like, your mind is blown. And it's the same thing with last year. You have these craftables that have so much variety in their gameplay and so many things that you can do with. You can combo it with other things, like with other classes, with your teammates and stuff. And since it's so team oriented, they encourage you to use craftables like that, like to combo it with other things or to really group up together and use your craftable weapons to take the fiend down. I think that's what makes it so engaging, is that constant combat loop and like death, you know, like, you know, you can constantly come back. So taking a death sometimes is like okay, and you can have fun with it. It's not like the death is end all be all. Instead, you can actually go have fun and like fight and get into it and really get into the combat. And the level design actually really encourages it super well as well, which a lot of people don't recognize that in last year. And it really serves the game super well. But if I were to say the one thing that people really get into last year for is that combat loop and just how much variety is in that alone. And definitely the characters as well. That's definitely like a secondary to the combat, because they say all of these fun, goofy lines that you really get into, and they kind of fit into the stereotype. But when you really get into their lines, like, you get to feel like they're actually human beings, because like they'll say the stereotypical lines, but then they'll also say some stuff where it's like they'll get super serious and you're like, oh, wow, this is actually a person beyond just this typical stereotype, which I think what makes the character stand out. And we all know in Asymmetrical Horror, we don't really get a lot of characters that talk or really speak at all, or you can't really connect to. It's just like, oh, this character looks really cool, or he has really cool cosmetics, so I'm just gonna equip him, I guess, or like he has really good perks, I'll just equip him. But with last year, it's all about those characters. It's all about like, oh, I really love Chad's lines. Like, he's so goofy and he's like, yeah, I'm gonna mess you up. Like, you know, I love Chad. Chad is awesome. Like, people love Chad for a reason. They love the cast of last year for a reason. And that's what really connects you with last year outside of the combat as well. You really feel like you get to know these people and they're kind of like your friend. Like, they're kind of like the people you kind of grow with throughout the nightmare.
I think we all know a Chad growing up. I feel like you say the name Chad, and it invokes like a vision, a memory of someone we all went to school with at some point.
I think we all have. I think we all have, for sure. Just that one guy who's like really pushing in and really out there and just so energetic. We love those people. And that's what Chad is in last year. And he's awesome. But you also get like the outcasts as well, so that you can relate to those. If, you know, if you don't relate, you know, if you're not really a popular person, or if you're very introverted, you have Sam and Nick, who are a lot more introverted. Or Nick, he understands he's an outcast, but also he's very confident in his abilities, which makes him stand out. And he makes a lot of references sometimes. So you can kind of be like, oh, he said a Batman reference, you know, it's like, yeah, I love Batman too. And like, you really get into it. You kind of nerd out with him a bit because he says some of these lines that, and some of them are really obscure too. Like, if you know what he's referencing, you really get it. And you're kind of like, yo, no way he said that. Like,
but what's like awesome. The era? Like, what's like,
so last year is in from the '90s.
Like the '90s, got it. Okay, like that's when I was in high school in the '90s. Yeah,
so it's the late '90s. It's the late '90s. So you have that like stereotypical American big high school, big huge campus, like that's ridiculously enormous, and you're kind of questioning what's the high school's budget. Like, realistically, it makes me think of those like '90s high school movies where you have the jock, you have the pretty girl, the pretty popular girl, the outcast, and all of that, and they all kind of come together into like this whole thing, and you kind of get to know them. And it kind of reminds me of that, like a playable like like high school simulator kind of, but with this huge like horror action theme into it. And it's amazing. It's a great combination. There's nothing to really describe it. There's no other game like it in the genre or in games that I've played in general.
I think it really speaks to like the power of horror and the character types that they use throughout every single kind of media, be it a game or a movie or a book, that someone like you, who I would imagine was not alive during the 90s, probably.
I was not.
Can still somehow connect with these characters and their memes and their jokes of that era and still find humor in that. It's kind of amazing, don't you think?
Yeah, it's amazing. It relates to a lot of the younger generation, but also the older generation as well. So it works for both demographics, funny enough. Even if you don't really get all the references, once you start getting into it, you're like, oh, that's what he's referencing. And
do
then
you
start
look
really
shit
getting
up?
into it. No, I actually get a lot of the references. I'm a really old soul at heart. If I could show you my record collection, it's pretty huge. Like I'm a very old soul. Like I collect a lot of physical stuff. I listen to a lot. I don't use my phone a lot. Like that's just who I am. But I know for a lot of the newer generation, they're tied to that stuff, which there's no problem with that. If you're into that, that's you. It's just what suits me personally. I'm really into record collection, so I get it a lot. But I'm sure there's a lot of people who look it up as like, oh, what are they talking about? And they really get into it, and then they get introduced to that stuff, which is awesome. It's great. We should love and respect and watch the great media that has become before us. And last year references it a lot, which is amazing. It references so many obscure like horror, and as a horror fan, like I would be like, oh, wow, they reference that? Like that's so obscure. Like you don't really see people talk about that. You know, you think when you think of like slasher horror, everyone talks about Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, like you know, the typical heavy hitters, which they're all great. They're all great and they deserve their praise. But
of course,
you know, there's a lot of smaller ones that had smaller budgets that did something incredible for the genre that people don't really talk about. So I'm glad that a lot of the younger generation are finding that out through last year. And it's incredible what the game has done for the community and the younger generation of players that have come in to play it. It's amazing.
I wonder if you appreciate what you're doing here, because you mentioned that you have you're an old soul at heart, and you have a massive record collection, and you're preserving the past in a sense with the old medium, the old format. You're doing that with this game. This game could have been lost to time, never played again, and yet your team helped preserve it. Now it's going to live on. That is some fucking
That's crazy. I didn't even think about it that way. Like I'm a big archivist, so like I like archiving things. Like I'm a big believer in the Internet Archive and all that stuff. Like media should be preserved no matter what. That's why I'm kind of not a big fan of live service games. Like they can provide a lot of great content and just great value in general. But once those servers go down and if they're not peer-to-peer, then you just lose those games forever. And like those games could be really meaningful for a lot of people. Like they could have met a lot of their friends on there. And that's kind of what last year was. Like we met so many people that we know that we still speak to this day. Even if we didn't meet them in real life, we still talk to them virtually every day or nearly every day through last year. And it's kind of sad. It's kind of like, you know, we all kind of came together because of last year. And then, you know, when last year kind of was just like, all right, looks like it's not coming back. You know, we all kind of did our own thing. We kind of separated because we all were into different genres. So it actually brought a lot of people together that came from that enjoy different genres, different mediums, different everything. Like it's insane what last year can do for a community and for people. Like if you ask a lot of people who've been in the community for years, they'll say how much last year has been an impact on them. Like throughout their life, like got them through tough times or it helped them grow as a person or, you know, just meet people, get out of their shell. It's incredible. Like people don't really think what games can do for you as a person and how they can impact you. And that's why last year, I think is such of like a rarity in the genre is that it really speaks to a lot of people. And I think a lot of people, I mean, of course you can say that for Dead by Daylight, but I don't really see that for Dead by Daylight. Whereas almost every day I see someone in the chat talk about how much last year means to them and how much they get excited just thinking about it. And like, man, I finally get to play this since it's like free to play and I never had a computer before. Like I get that comment almost every day. I'm like, you know what? I'm just glad that you can finally play the game, man, and you know, enjoy it. Like it's crazy to think, like, if we didn't preserve this, like people wouldn't be able to play it and they would just be like, oh, I guess I can just watch some videos of it. Like, and that sucks because when you watch the videos, you're like,
that sounds
that's really
depressing.
Cool. that's really cool. I want to get into it. Like you're like you really get into the fiend combat, for example, because it has a lot of depth and it has a very high skill ceiling. And you're like, wow, I wish I could get good at Fiend and really get into it. I really like this. Like a lot of people relate to Strangler. They really like how he plays and how interesting he is. I kind of think of him as like the spy in TF2, where he's like very approachable for new people, where it's like, wow, he looks cool. I'm going to play him. So basically I think of it like that. And people are like, yes, I finally get to play this Fiend that I saw was so cool. And I finally get to try him out and all this stuff. And it's great. It's awesome. And that's really interesting. You put it into perspective that we actually are archiving it.
You really are. Like, again, you saved a piece of gaming history.
Yes,
unknowingly. Very,
yeah, unknowingly, and a very piece of asymmetrical horror, if I say so. I think last year is the peak of the genre, in my opinion. Of course, if you think it's Dead by Daylight, that's cool, but I think last year is the peak of the genre right now, and it needs to walk for a new title to run in the genre. We need to start pushing the boundaries, because last year really did push the boundaries in terms of what characters can be in asymmetrical horrors, what combat can look like, what game mechanics can be, how do you consider player interaction with character interaction. It's insane how in depth it gets into with the genre that didn't really get into it like that. You know, you don't think of characters like that in asymmetrical horror. You don't really relate to them as much. You don't think of the mechanics like that. You're just kind of like playing in a very basic loop a majority of the time. And some people really like that. But with last year, it's a lot more in depth. And I think that's why it brings such a like a strong fan base that really sticks with it, because they're like, hey, it might not be for everyone, but it's for me. And I think that's what what's important about last year. And that's why I think last year is the peak right now. And I'm just waiting for the next game to take what last year did, improve upon it, because last year is not perfect. There's no perfect game. So it can definitely take upon its ideas and then run with it. And I would love to see a game that does that, because that would be great. It'll be a great homage, but also it'll be a great game to just keep pushing the genre forward, which is what we really need. Because right now we're getting a lot of games that I feel like are very stagnant, that are not as exciting. But you know, I really look at that, that
Chainsaw Massacre game. That doesn't.
Oh, I tried the technical test actually.
Oh, did you?
Yes. I was not a big fan. I'm gonna be honest.
Is that a bias speaking, or was it really like?
I tried to look up it objectively. So I am a game designer, and I'm taking it in a majoring class. Like I actually go to college for that. So I try to look at it objectively and see what it does. And I'm like, and I kind of saw a lot of what F13 did. So that's the Jason multiplayer game. And I'm not a big fan of that game. Like, yes, it's fun with your friends, but outside of that, like objectively, like what the game is trying to do and get you to get engaged in its loop, it's not doing a good job at that. It does it really poorly. And Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I kind of felt like the same kind of things there, although a little more refined and a little more improved. But I really felt like it wasn't a game that was going to keep me drawn in for long. Mm-hmm. Not to mention with these horror IPs, you kind of have very limited content. So it kind of gets you a little concerned at times, you know, the longevity of the game, because it's going to be like, okay, we can probably do like a year's worth of content and we're probably running this game on servers. So once we're kind of like not making really good money off of this, or maybe we lose the IP, you know, we're kind of not going to keep doing this anymore. I'm surprised that F13 is even still around. It's great that, you know, it's still around for people to play and people really get into that. But for TCM, who knows? Maybe that runs off of like a dedicated server. I haven't really looked into it. But if it does, then that's very concerning for its future, and people who really want to get into it in the future who can't get into it now for whatever reasons. You know, they can't really get into it now, and then they come into the future like, hey, I want to finally try out that Texas Chainsaw Massacre game, and boom, it's gone. You can't play it. You know, that's really unfortunate. So yeah, it's very concerning what the genre is becoming and how we are not pushing the boundaries. And it just kind of feels like we're kind of retreading old ground instead of trying some new things, which I guess can be a little bit of a bias. I'm big on like innovation. Like if we're like take what people have done in the genre and keep pushing it, there's nothing wrong with retreading old grounds, but it kind of felt like they didn't really do anything with it. It was just kind of like, oh, here's the same ideas. The only thing that was really interesting, I will say, was the family was very interesting, and I really enjoyed that gameplay, and I thought it had a lot of potential, but the victim gameplay was just not for me. I'm usually one who likes to play both sides usually I'm really into the survivor side, but the victim gameplay just wasn't really hitting it for me. I was just kind of like, oh, I'm just kind of getting like F13 Dead by Daylight vibes. Like, this is just not for me. I left that in the past. That's just not for me anymore. Like, I've played too much of that. It's just not for me. So
yeah,
that's my entire thoughts kind of encapsulated.
I was like, for me, F13, it was when the game had offline mode. It was all about the playing as Jason power fantasy. This is why I love that game so much. But again, as a multiplayer game, it didn't do it for me. Like playing as a survivor or like as Jason, it just didn't feel right. And I could see, like, again, when there's the initial fascination of a beloved iconic slasher icon like a Jason or a, you know, Leatherface, kind of like pushing fans to want to try the game out. But then after that, it can lose its magic, its luster, its appeal. What do you do? And we know with F13, it was a whole licensing rights issue. That's what killed that game. That problem doesn't affect games like last year. It can never, because it's an original idea, original characters, and you can just make a new shit and keep it going on as long as you need to.
Exactly. That's what, that's the upper hand that last year has over every other ASEM. I mean, even DBD is tied up in so many IPs and licenses. They can't even make a Dead by Daylight 2. If they wanted to make a Dead by Daylight 2.
Now, it's like, I wonder at what point. I mean, I love that team. I love their game, but I'm like, oh my God, it's just like, it's so insane now. What's snuck into that game in terms of the licensing? Like, it was just first Michael Myers from Halloween. It all became about who's the next killer we're going to bring into this franchise. Freddy Krueger, we got Nemesis, Pyramid Head. It's like everyone you can think of. It's just nuts. What's happened to that?
It's amazing. You can kind of play into this power fantasy where you can play whoever you want, and that's great. But also at the same time, you start getting very limited because they'll start putting a lot of obligations where it's like, hey, we can't show you. You can't have the game showing this happening to our horror IP because it'll diminish like
the image,
you know, how seen. Yeah, it'll diminish their image basically, and like it gets very limited. Whereas last year, they can make whatever fiend they want that's inspired off of so many different things, and you know, it could be homages to things. And they can just be like, yeah, we can show it dying. We don't have to abide by that restriction. Not to say like I wouldn't love to see some beloved horror IPs come in, but I'm sure they would be a little hesitant because you do see the fiend actually die. And I talked to a few developers and they were like, yeah, even with trying to do like a whole narrative thing where like, oh, they just disappear and you know, that type of thing, you know, some horror IPs are not gonna like that. You know, some IP holders are not gonna like that. They're like, no, you cannot show them dying no matter what way you try to manipulate it to not look like death.
Don't they die in like all of their fucking movies? Though
I don't know, man. they are
listen, the we've been
they're
through
the
like
the power.
There's like 10 Jason movies, like 7 Freddy movies, and they've all died pretty horrendous, horrible, over the top deaths that I think they wouldn't come close to portraying in a video game like DBD. So I don't know what they're so reluctant about, but in any case, but that's a good segue. Have you guys ever even Would you want that at some point? Like, I mean, who's left to bring into your game at this point? They've all been in Dead by Daylight, but like, is that a conversation? Like, would you want maybe for the game to have that at some point, or just, you know what? Let's keep it just, we're purists. We want just our characters, our guys, our original ideas. Like, as fans, would you want to have that kind of like infiltrate the game or keep it as it is?
I would definitely love to see it because it would show that last year can bring in that draw. And I think it would allow for more gameplay opportunities because I look at Dead by Daylight and I'm like, okay, you have Michael Myers, but he's pretty not interesting in terms of his actual design. Like, you know, Michael Myers is very simple. So he works in the DBD formula, but think of someone like Demogorgon, where like you have this whole upside down that you can explore with, but DBD can't really do that because of its limited game design structure. Whereas in last year, you can go so crazy with it. You can make a whole upside down map. You can even make a whole alternate dimension and you can bring people into it kind of like that. Like just with the Demogorgon, like that's so cool. You actually feel like you're the Demogorgon from Stranger Things. That's what I feel like last year really has. And I would love to see some IPs come in where you can get super creative with it. Like Freddy, for example, bring them into the dream world.
There's a whole dream world, dude,
and toy with them. Like there's so much potential there, and that's why I would actually love to see IPs coming for last year, but I would like to see it do some original ones first, you know, kind of set its foot put their foot in the door essentially and kind of say like, all right, these are what we have. I mean, they already have some iconic fiends. They have Spider, which is like the first time we ever saw a creature feature in asymmetrical horror, so that's already like a big one. But it's like, okay, how do we keep pushing that boundary to show that we can do all of these things, and then also we can kind of bring in some beloved IPs as well. You know, just because it's in Dead by Daylight doesn't mean that it can't come over to last year. So I would definitely love to see
like seeing like this game's mechanics spin on those exact same characters would be a fun comparison, like see how it's handled there versus how you guys would handle it. And that's where I see your little game designer brain kind of like, I see the gears turning in your brain during this conversation. Like, I should take some notes for the dream world.
It's an exciting prospect to think about and what you can really do with it, because last year is very almost limitless with its design. Obviously, you still have to follow the rules, but those rules are not very restricted. It feels like Dead by Daylight tells you a lot of, no, you can't do this, which is number one, you don't do that as a game designer. And it feels like Dead by Daylight does that a lot as a like, no, you can't do this, no, you can't do that. Or like they purposefully drag you away from certain like things that they want you to do. And that's also another issue that even Video Horror Society, that game runs into as well.
Right.
Another asymmetrical horror game.
Yeah.
It might be a little too late. The player base is a little low. It's very difficult to get games right now for that. But it falls into a lot of the pitfalls that a lot of these very restrictive asymmetrical horror games fall into. And that's where last year really shines. And that's why I would love to see a lot of bigger IPs come in, and you can toy with so many ideas there and get really creative with it and make people really excited to play those fiends. And, you know, you can make it infinitely replayable with those multi-realms, especially if you get fiends that are these horror IPs that work in those multi-realms. You can start going really goofy with it. And you can kind of bend it around a little bit too, so you can kind of break the pre-established formula a bit, but also make it still work within the context of last year. It's amazing. It's great, and that's why I would love to see it.
I'm gonna toss two out there. We've seen Chucky hasn't been involved yet, so Child's Play. Part two was set in a school for a good chunk. That kind of works with your setting. And then Scissor Man from Clock Tower. I think that boy needs a comeback in Scissor, some way.
Clock Tower, classic.
Dude, glad telling you, man, Die Hard. I know a lot of dumb shit about horror games and movies. So I kind of want to bounce off of, you mentioned the low player count for that other game that I already forgot the name of.
I don't mean to throw shade. It's just
facts. You know, it's objective truths here we're talking about. What has the response been like for Resurrected since you guys have brought it back, in a sense, like helped, you know, renew the fan base and all that? What's it been like so far?
It's been incredible, honestly. We've brought in a lot of new generation of players. A lot of the older generation that came in from Nightmare and early After Dark are kind of not around anymore, which is fine. We'd be more than happy for them to come back. But we've really grown into this new generation of players where they really are excited about the game, and they're super optimistic. And that's what's really exciting. I'm not going to lie, the old community was a little bit toxic a bit, and it made it a real big struggle to even interact with the community. But now our community is a lot more approaching. We're a lot more involved. And we're learning from the mistakes that Elastic did, where that lack of communication, we're learning from that. And we're really just making sure that we really get involved with it. And it's super exciting, this new generation, and honestly, how people are getting involved. And that's really like, and it's incredible, like how much people have been drawn to last year, even though this was just kind of like a, you know, here you can play the game officially now while we work on content. Well, that's Undaunted's plan. Basically, I can't really speak for them, but that's kind of like their goal. Essentially, I'm just speaking from the mindset of Team Resurrected and what I've observed from what they're trying to do. I've noticed that they're really like trying to get involved and speak with the community, which is great. That's great. Elastic didn't even do that, and people really did not like that, and they were kind of like, hey, news. I remember for like almost an entire year, like nothing was ever said. So I think that's why last year slipped out of a lot of people's minds, and they were just kind of like, oh wait, the server still exists. You know, that type of thing. And that sadly happened.
That's me. I was like, dude, yep. Seriously, like for me, the whole last year game, it was, if you recall, it was like an 8-second clip they posted on the Kickstarter. It was like a guy holding an axe. That was the whole game to me. That's all it was.
just
that's all it was. Yeah, that's all it was to me. And it came and went. And you would think for a game that's very community driven and focused, and just it's built upon the bedrock is its community of players that are playing the game, you think they would be a little bit more chatty with updates, with what to expect, what's going on, man, kind of a thing.
And that's where Undaunted has learned from that, not to throw shade at Elastic. You know, they made their own decisions, and you know, that's their own thing. If they thought that was right, then they thought that was right. There's nothing wrong with that. I understand the criticism and a lot of the flack there, but you know, if they thought that was the best decision to keep them focused on the development, then so be it. But with Undaunted, they're really trying to, since they are picking up a game that isn't really theirs, they didn't make this code, they're trying to see what really the community wants to see, and what really makes this game tick. Like, why do people keep coming back to it instead of just being like super designer approach about it? Because sometimes I can blind you from what actually needs to stay in the game, or what makes the game really tick, because you might look at it very objectively, whereas sometimes that subjective look actually is very powerful and very insightful. And that's where our community is great. Like, they keep hitting us with the feedback. They're like, hey, we really love to see this or this or that. Hey, what if this idea for a rework? It's awesome. And that's also translated to the player count. Like, even though it was just a relaunch, just to, you know, let the game so that people can officially play the game while they work on content. It's been really exciting that, you know, we got over 1,000 players on that relaunch. It's incredible. Like, we didn't even think it would go that far. And we had so many content creators that just kind of came in and were like, yeah, I haven't played last year since After Dark dropped. So, like, you know, there's a lot of new stuff for them. They're like, whoa, I never seen the Sawmill map. I've never seen the Mine map, the main abilities and all this stuff. All those gameplay changes, they never seen that before. Mm-hmm. So when they really got into it, they were really enjoying it. And they were really positive about it. And that was awesome to see. And that was incredible. And that was a real big eye opener for me as a junior, just learning from what they're doing. I was just learning a lot from what they were doing. And it really has opened up my mind a lot on what community can do for a studio, for a game, and everything, really. And even being in that community manager role for Team Resurrected, which just really showed me how amazing a community we have here and how sacred they are to us and how much we want to keep it going and growing. And hope that last year can really reach Dead by Daylight. We don't have to be the best game. We can be second to Dead by Daylight. I think there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we can kind of respect that we're on the same turf as them, but, you know, we have our own goals and aspects in mind.
Right.
And Dead by Daylight has their own goals and aspects in mind, and we can respect that. It doesn't have to be this whole bloody battle of who's the best asymmetrical horror game or whatever the case may be. You know, as long as we can strive and do our thing and meet our goals and make our community happy, I think that's what really matters at the end of the day. You know, that's what I think really stands out to us.
I think when you start comparing yourself to someone like that is when you can get lost in the weeds. You can only compare yourselves to what last year was. Build on that, make it better, make it stronger, and the players will come. We just want a good game, a fun game. We want to kill some shit. That's what we want to do in games like this. How has this project, this journey, kind of impacted you personally? Because it's, again, it's a big shock to working on this mod to now we got someone bought the rights to the IP to further develop it and make content and sees the value in it. What has that been like for you?
Just awesome, just eye-opening, and really just kind of like seeing the fruits of my labor actually come out, because, like, you know, I didn't really think it would go anywhere, and not like I really did it for any like value to begin with, like any monetary value or anything of that sort.
No,
you
did it for a selfish reason, because you loved the game that much. It's like, we love the game that much.
Yeah, exactly. We were just kind of doing it as a kind of like, we can't let go and we can't accept it. So we kind of used it as like that as our motivation. So it's kind of really amazing, like how this all really turned out and how many people just thank us every day for like, wow, you're kind of the reason why this came back. Like, thank you so much. And it still kind of blows my mind. I still can't really like grasp my head around it. That we really were kind of the reason. And I just got to give a shout out to everyone on Team Resurrected, from our developers to our QA testers. They were awesome. They did so much. And I remember there were so many downtimes where we were so uncertain about the future of Resurrected. And we were kind of like, man, is this even worth going for anymore? Like, are people really interested? Like, it really kind of got to us a bit. We were like, man, you know, there's just more stuff that are important right now. And like, it went on for like 7 months or something. So like, we were really starting to feel the effects of it. You know, we're not professionals. We were just a bunch of teenagers just like coming together to work on a mod. We just did it because we love last year so much. And we were just kind of like, well, we love last year, but it's like, do other people love last year? Like we're spending so much time on this to a point where it's kind of like, is this really worth it anymore? Like, it's just going to only be like the same 20 people playing it, which is like about the size of our team, right? At the end, like getting everyone together, like counting it up. So we were kind of like, man, I kind of hope it's just not us, all of us 20 people just playing it at the end of the day. Like, I hope there's actual people involved and being like, oh yeah, like, you know, I'm new to this and I bought last year, but I never got to play it. Like, I would love to, like we were concerned that we wouldn't get anyone like that, but, you know, thankfully it all worked out. And even with the public playtest that we got to release for Resurrected, it really helped Undaunted a lot, actually, because they were actually having a lot of technical difficulties getting the relaunch up, and we were actually really helping them out a lot. So we were actually helping jump boost their community a bit, which is so cool. It's like, it's crazy to think that a fan project could really help an IP and a studio, and you know, going under their wing and being their junior and them just kind of like teaching me and showing me the ropes of the industry is incredible. And I'm eternally grateful. And it's just amazing. Like, it's an experience I cannot describe, because it's like, I'm so young and I was like, man, I don't know if game design is really for me. Like, a year ago, if you told me like, hey, last year is going to be bought, you're going to be, you know, helping out the studio that bought it, or, you know, stuff like that. Like, I'm not officially with them or anything. It's just kind of like volunteer help. And they're kind of like, you know, mentoring me along as like a side thing. And I kind of help with their Discord. So, you know, that's where I am right now with them. But it's still been an amazing experience. And if you told me that a year ago, that was what my game design college career was going to lead me to, I wouldn't have believed you. I would have been like, yeah, right, man. Last year is dead. Like, we just got to accept that. But I'm still going to do the fan project. But, you know, I just got to accept that it's dead. You know, that's very optimistic of you. Like, I would have been very cynical about it a bit because, you know, we kind of had to come to terms with that because we held on for hope for so long. And then when the CEO of Elastic did that interview or that AMA, and in the Discord, and he kind of just told us, yeah, no, we couldn't find a publisher and all that. And we were like, oh, god damn, like, it, man, we're screwed. Yeah. It's just over. We had to just accept it. And that was kind of like our acceptance point. And we were just kind of like, well, we just got to accept it. And that was kind of our mindset for a while. Mm-hmm. But once Undaunted kind of came in and kind of was like, yeah, we're willing to pick this back up and we see potential in it, you know, that was when it was like the enlightenment moment for us, really. And we were like, yes, this is worth it. This is like, I knew we weren't like the only few people who liked last year and who thought it was actually worth something. Like, it's crazy to see that, and actually like people in the industry actually recognize its value, because we're just a bunch of game players. We're not actual designers, we're not professionals or anything yet. You know, so we're just kind of like, maybe just as game players we see something in it, but as a designer, you know, people don't really see in it. But, you know, it's good to know that actual designers and people in the industry really see the potential in it, and they really love it too. And I think that really goes to show how much the original developers loved it too. They really loved working on the game. It was like a passion project for them, and to be paid to do a passion project is awesome. And you can kind of feel that. I mean, old developers come into our chat a lot, at least on a semi-regular basis, and you know, they share their experiences and like some of the ideas that they were rummaging around when they were working on the game, and like how excited they were. And like, it's so awesome to see that, and it's like, wow, you know, it kind of comes full circle. It's incredible. And I'm just really grateful that Team Resurrected had this opportunity, and that, you know, we get to basically have a say in the community, and, you know, we kind of get our own little stamp of recognition for it. It's really cool. You know, they could have easily brushed us off to the side, like, oh yeah, I was like just a fan project thing, you know, nothing really official.
All right.
But, you know, they give
it's
us
ours now. That's fine, kids. Leave it to the adults.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're like, they respect us. And I really appreciate that. Like, you don't really see that in the industry. You know, when you hear a lot of these game developer stories, you kind of think of like these businessmen in suit, like they have to take it super seriously. They don't like to talk to their community type of thing, but they feel like really punk rock about it. And they're like, no, we love talking with you guys. We love really getting engaged with you guys. And I think that's what really makes Undaunted stand out and really feel like a family. And that's what the last year community really feels like, a family. Well, sometimes we'll disagree about things, like certain balance ideas or whatever. Like, people go ham on that stuff, which I love seeing that, because it shows the passion. It shows that people really love the game and they want to see it grow and prosper, you know. That's great. And it's just awesome to really see that at the end of the day. Like, it's just mind blowing. Like, it's still a lot to take in. Well, what has happened over the last few months is like, what? It's too fast.
Like, who better? Because you understand why the game works, why there's a community, why it was worth saving. If they're not going to go to you about the game and its future, who else is there to go to? Who is more informed? Who knows what makes this IP work and why it's worth saving and why and what should be looked at to make better in the future?
That's a great point. Yeah. Sometimes the designers do know best, because they are designers and they really
again
understand.
From a technical standpoint, I understand, but like the underlying, like, you know, the in here part of it. You know,
yes. Yes, that, yes, the art of it, actually,
the
yes.
Squishy very stuff true. Inside.
Very true. That is very true. Yeah, the community is where it really stands at. Like, that's, I think that's what really makes Last Year stand out the most. You have that community engagement, and there's no other community really like it. Like, you kind of have to go into the Discord to really believe it and really see like what it's all about, and you kind of really get into it. Sometimes people can be a little pushy because, you know, they're talking about their opinions. You know, sometimes you can get a little like standoffish about it. But like, at the end of the day, people are really cool with each other. And it's really awesome how positive our community is. And it's amazing. It's just awesome.
What were some of the challenges that, or what was the moment that you felt that was, it could have been a breaking point for you guys to be like, because you mentioned several times, is this worth it? All this work and time. What was a point that it was like, this may prevent us from going forward with this?
Oh my lord. Damn, I know this one like the back of my hand because man, I was like dreading it the most because I was a community manager, so I had to find like I had to scramble for a lot of like excuses that I really didn't want to because I wanted to be transparent, mm-hmm. but some things I just couldn't say because then it would just would like really reflect badly on us.
Right.
Like to a point where like people would lose trust in us, and I didn't want that to happen because we have a lot of great people on our team, and sometimes, you know, they don't know how to respond properly and they may word things in the incorrect way where people misinterpret it. And that's where I come in to make sure that it's said well and people understand where we're coming from. So we had to kind of like make weird excuses because like, man, it was such a low point. Like
PR so speak, our is that what's happening? Is that what our, we're
our
doing?
So our developers are actually from Russia or Ukraine, I believe, actually. Mm-hmm. They're from Ukraine. So like our two programmers were from Ukraine. I believe both of them are from Ukraine, or one's from Russia and one's from Ukraine. I don't remember how that really works, but what matters is that they were in a war zone while working on this game, basically. And like, that's crazy to think about. So like that's crazy to think about. And like, that really stagnated us for a lot because like, sometimes they will go like days or weeks with inactivity, and understandably so. I don't blame them, but like, you know, that really lowered our morale a lot because we were kind of like, hey, you know, we're kind of reaching like the 6 month of development. Like we should really start pushing this out. Like really like the beginning of January could have been a really big breaking point because we were really starting to get really tired that nothing was really happening. Mm-hmm. We were starting to get really, really frustrated. We were kind of like, look, we understand what your guys' position is, but like, you know, we got to start pushing things because like people were really like kind of pushing us too. They were kind of like, hey, we kind of saw your so we did a lot of dev streams because we wanted people to really get involved and really mm-hmm. see what we were working on and kind of show like, hey, we got the game working. Like, this is what we're doing. We're making progress. Like, we're doing stuff. And like almost every time a new build would come out, a new big build would come out, we would get our QA testers come in and we would all play the game, have a good time. So like that was like big for us. So but like, you know, the community was like, you know, like they were getting really skeptical, and I don't even blame them. If that was taking a while and I see like the game is almost fully operational, I'd be like, yo, what the hell? Where's this drop? Like, just drop the mod, man. Like, we don't care that not every feature is in the game, but you know, we were kind of being a little bit perfectionist, which was a little unrealistic, but you know, that's how we are. You know, it's a little bit of a flaw of ours. I can't say, but you know, that really got to a breaking point because it was like, okay, our developers are not really responding to us. We have this community pushback that's really kind of growing a little bit towards us, and it kind of felt a little hostile at times. And we were kind of like, okay, well, the community feels like they're kind of turning against us now, and we have our developers that are barely responding, and we're kind of really concerned on what the hell can we do here? Like, because we were like planning the trailer, we were starting to get the trailer ready. I was starting to get a lot of things ready, like asset packs, like a bunch of like media stuff just getting to be released. I was starting to plan like big events and stuff, and like just like patch, like I was starting to write out patch notes and everything, and I was really starting to get into it. And I was like, all right guys, you know, we're just kind of waiting on you guys.
Is it ready?
Is it ready? And like I remember for like 2 months straight we got no contact, and it was just like, we barely got contact, and no flack to them. Like, at the end of the day, what really matters is their lives over a damn video.
Right, like they're alive. Like, okay. I was like, oh, great, you're alive. So about the game.
We didn't want to come off that way. And it felt really bad sometimes. But at the same time, it's like, dude, those 2 months were grueling because it's like, you know, we spent a lot of time on this stuff. Like we saw how those dev builds kind of grew and, you know, polished it up because there was a lot of unexpected issues that came in the way, mm-hmm. which during our development, which is why we're glad we didn't immediately release it, because people would have been like, oh, how come this is not working properly? Or how come this bug got introduced all of a sudden? Like, yeah. You know, people can be really hostile about that. So I'm kind of glad that that didn't really happen. But at the same time, it got to a point where it was like, yo, we're kind of reaching like 5-6 months. And it's like, you know, we haven't dropped anything like in terms of like an actual downloadable build. You know, I'm a little concerned, and we were all very concerned, but you know, it all worked out, and no shade to anyone either. Like we all did our jobs. We all did a great job, and you know, it still all worked out in the end. And that's all that really matters. Like there's no ill will there. And you know, we really, it's more important. Your life is more important over a damn video game at the end of the day. Like, I hope I don't ever like, I hope I don't ever come off that way.
I've
like,
met some people,
how come
I've
off?
Met some people, Jaden, who would debate you on that.
Oh Lord. Oh no.
Maybe if it was my life's work. People in my life.
Maybe if it was my life's work, I would, you know, if I worked on it my entire life and, you know, it was like my life's work, then yeah, maybe I'll say like, yeah, this is worth more than my life. But this is like encompasses like an entire entire actual like team of people. Yeah. So it's like, you know, what really matters is that you guys are doing well at the end of the day. That's what really mattered. I always made sure to check in with people and see how they were doing. And, you know, we always made sure that they were involved. Even our QA testers, you can kind of say like, oh, well, they just played the game. But yeah, sure. That still provided us a lot of value. Mm-hmm. And we made sure that they were still, you know, really connected with us. Like we would do polls and stuff like, you know, and stuff like that with them. And, you know, just to see like where to go, because our QA testers were a lot of people who were really in the community for many, many years, including me. I was kind of like part of the QA as well. So I swapped many, many hats. And I was kind of there, and they gave us a lot of valuable feedback and just making sure. And since, and even though they didn't know coding, they knew how the game was supposed to work. They knew the gameplay rules. They knew how to bend it. They knew how to find new issues with it and all that stuff, especially with some of the systems that we were incorporating to kind of replace other ones because they weren't working correctly, because it's just brute forcing the code to work. And it's even a miracle that we even got it to work that way. It's incredible. There's like so many hoops we had to jump through. So like the fact that they were able to come in without any programming experience and just be like, hey, I found a bug here, or I found an issue here with your new system. And they would go into detail about it and be like, yeah, this causes it by doing this. And like, they'll tell you how to recreate it perfectly. And it was amazing how much detail they would go into. And like, that's invaluable, man. And that's the beauty of Team Resurrected. It's a bunch of people that really love the game and come together and really working on something because they believe in it and they're passionate. And that's why I loved Team Resurrected. And I'm just great that it gets to be immortalized in last year's history. It's amazing. It's incredible.
I was just going to say, you got like so much experience and knowledge of what it takes to make a video game outside of an actual classroom or a program. Like, you're so ahead of the game now. You're so prepared for a future in this industry by virtue of working on this project. It's insane how much you've learned and all the hats you've worn. It's worth its weight in gold. I hope you realize that.
Yes, I recognize that a lot. And I try not to flex.
Like,
it though,
they won't teach you half this shit in a classroom or in a textbook or an online seminar. You're like in the thick of it, and you're still in it.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible to think about like how much experience I've gained from it. And I also hope that a lot of people from our team got that experience as well. Like, even our QA testers, like, I hope it goes to show, like, if they want to be in the industry, like, what is it like being a QA tester? Right. Because usually that's how a lot of people start off. They usually start off in QA. And, you know, they'll get to see what it's like working on a game that they'll really like and really want to like see improve. They'll give their feedback and type it out, and they get to kind of get into that role and understand it at a young age, which is incredible. Like, that's invaluable experience, especially like when you have, like, when you're just playing games all day. It's better if you're playing the game that you love and you get to do an analytical and critical thinking about it, and you get to put that on your resume. Like, that's insane. Like, that's a wombo combo, basically. It's incredible.
That's amazing.
It's incredible. And I hope that a lot of people got that experience too, because I know I gained a lot from it, and I hope that the rest of our team gained a lot from it. I know our marketing guy, which was Professor Monster, he worked on our trailer, and we gave him a lot of feedback on that. That was an incredible trailer to put together. He did such an incredible job. I got to give him a shout out for that one. incredible. Like, there's a reason why that trailer got a lot of views. It's gripping. We actually
I got all excited. I was like, it's back. Yeah. Where did it go? It's back again.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's really like action packed. It really emphasizes what last year really is, and it really gets you into it. And we actually did like an analytical, like, we did like an analysis on the last year trailer. So we did the last year, the Nightmare one, and we did the After Dark one. And we said, okay, what does these two trailers do well? What do they not do well? And we kind of came to a consensus that the Nightmare one was a lot better at encompassing what the game actually is. And then After Dark was kind of like you know, we're trying to be creepy and horror, right? And you know, and all this stuff. And we were like, no, let's not.
That's
go for
not
that.
Us. Yeah.
Because it's completely portraying
that's what
the
we're
game
trying to
it,
do.
And in an incorrect manner, and it sets up the wrong expectations. Like, we were thinking about how much does a trailer do for a game, and where that will get us to go with Resurrected. You know, and it's great that it all worked out, and he did such an amazing job. Again, I gotta give him props for that.
Invaluable marketing skills that you'll one day put to the test in your future in this industry. Before we jump into rapid fire, I have one last question for you about last year. When people play a session, a full session, or a long session for the evening, shut the game off, and walk away, how should they feel inside? What do you want players to feel?
I would say maybe most likely invigorated. Like, mm-hmm. I've played the game for over, like, for 5 years. And every day after I hop off of last year, I feel amazing. I feel great. Like, man, that was such a great experience. And, like, I play with the same people almost every day, or, like, the same community almost every day. And almost every time, we're always having a good time. Sometimes we'll get a little frustrated and we'll hop off the game a little frustrated. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, when you simmer down and you think about it, it's like, man, that was still a great gaming experience nonetheless. And, like, that's crazy to think, like, even after so many hours poured into the game, that we still feel like energized just playing.
It's not enough.
Like, really, yeah, like you're still high off of it. And I hope that's what our players feel as well. When they turn
it.
Off the game, and, you know, they finish it off for the night, you know, they're just like, all right, that was a great session. I can't wait to play more tomorrow or the weekend or whenever I have free time. I hope people feel that as well. And I think a lot of people do feel that way. I mean, why else would people come back to it? You know, if it wasn't a good retention, if it wasn't good in retention, then why would people come back? Why would people talk about it? Why would they play about it? It definitely has a high skill ceiling, so there's a lot of frustration there, especially when you go against someone who is a lot higher skill level than you, and I definitely understand that.
Oh boy, but can't wait to play and get my ass kicked.
Yeah, some people look at it that way, but once you kind of get out of that mentality and you just focus on having fun, you kind of realize, like, man, last year just provides you with that experience that just keeps you yearning for more. Even if it's like you play on the same map every time or you play the same class, you're still kind of yearning for more. You're kind of like, man, that was so fun, I want to just do that again. Like, just multiple times, like, it doesn't get tired. Kind of like Max Payne, like bullet dodging, like,
oh my
Max
God.
Payne 1,
it's
like,
never
you
not
can
fun.
Never, yeah, like, you can never get tired of shoot dodging in Max Payne. Like, you're just like, man, that was so cool, I want to do it again. And then you do it again, it's like, yeah, and I'm gonna do that again, and you keep doing it again. It's awesome. It that's what last year really feels like, and I hope that's what the players feel.
I love
like
it.
Too.
I love it. All right, Jaden, enough about last year. Let's talk about you for a little bit, for a hot second. And we'll tie it into horror and the game in general. So let's start out with this one. If you could pick any obscure horror IP to bring into the last year world, it's your pick. There's no rights thing. No one's going to say no. Whatever you say goes. It's like Jaden's pick. What's your go-to? What's like your dream scenario for like something not as big as a household name, something obscure, but horror fans would appreciate?
Horror fans would appreciate. Man, that's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot.
I was going to choose a very selfish pick.
Do a selfish pick. Do a selfish pick. Let's have it. I'm curious.
I would 100% love to see Deadly Premonition in last year. Like, I am a big sweary guy. Look, like, that's the guy who I take inspiration from for all of my game design stuff.
Oh my
like,
God.
He is the one who I built off of my game design off of. And when I experienced Deadly Premonition for the first time, it was something I never really like got ever again. And I always go back to it. And there's something so encapsulating about that, and I feel like that would work so perfect in the Nightmare Realm, and you can kind of connect, like, you can even do like a bridging story with Greenvale and how that connects with the Nightmare, and like York being in the Nightmare and then the Shadows. That would be so cool, and like you could do so much cool stuff with it. That wouldn't be for everyone, sure, but man, it would just be so cool to see York with an assault pipe just mowing down the killer. I feel like that would be so goofy. I would love that. Like, that's such, like, that's so out there, and that's like really like grasping, but I would just love to see that personally. Like, that would be like, and that's amazing, because that's what kind of last year feels like. It kind of feels like a B movie horror sometimes, because of that stereotypical high school feeling to it, and how it does its cinematics. So I feel like it would kind of come in perfectly sometimes. Like, it would kind of mix perfectly a little bit, actually.
That game is just, see, you mentioned there not being a perfect game. I think you're wrong, because that game because there's an intention behind the clunkiness of the controls, how bad, quote unquote, the script is, the cheesy dialogue delivery. It's all very intentional. And that's what makes it perfect, because it knows what it wants to do. And it does it so, so flawlessly. Yeah,
it does it so amazingly, yeah. Whether intentionally or not. It's incredible.
It's all intentional.
And he knew
what he was doing when he made that game.
And I feel like Swery can write some really good dialogue for York for last year, because that's also a big part of last year, the dialogue system. And like York just saying a lot of like remarks or like speaking to Zach while fighting the fiend, that would be so awesome. Like I would just be so like giddy every time that it would happen. I'd be like, no way. Like, and it's kind of more like fourth wall breaking as well, a little bit. And maybe he can be good friends with Nick a little bit. Like maybe they'll be really into like investigating the nightmare. Like
and
that would just
share
be so
one
cool.
of those horrible sandwiches together.
What do you mean?
That sandwich?
The sinner sandwich is amazing.
Oh no.
I believe it's sandwich. Jam and cereal.
Yeah.
Like cornflakes.
Yeah.
I don't remember the full thing, but I think it's jam and
a nightmare and between two pieces of bread. Yeah, that's what that
and
is.
Over, on a white piece of bread.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never tried it, but sounds great.
You wouldn't be here if you did. what scares you? That's a deep question too. it's gonna go right from like schlock comedy horror to like what scares you, Jaden?
What actually terrifies me?
Well, like, you know, yeah, what, you know, lights go out, you know, things are like, what scares you? What would scare you? Don't talk, but nothing too deep, because I can't handle that.
Nothing too deep.
Like, you know, don't take the author. I'll be like, no, that's too intense for me right now.
I mean, it's an inevitable fate, so I mean, you kind of have to accept it, but
you're right.
That's not, but we're not here to talk about that.
But like, if something were chasing you in the dark, what is chasing you?
What is chasing me?
Yeah, what's something that would give you actual panic and dread?
Something that gives me actual panic.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. I don't really fear a lot of things. I mean, I fear heights, I'll tell you that. But I don't think heights is going to be chasing me.
A tall building trying to get up under you.
I don't think that's going to be happening.
I was being chased by a skyscraper.
The real horror is the current state of the game development industry.
Oh,
that's what's chasing me. That's what's chasing
me. And he has jokes.
That's what's really chasing.
I was gonna say, congrats on having a much higher player count than Redfall. You guys did a great job. You're doing something right.
I'm doing something right. I feel bad for Arkane. I love the studio.
Oh, I know.
I hope they're able to bounce back from that. Love that studio. Made a lot of amazing games. And I hope those developers are doing well.
Let's say, I mean, no, I can't laugh at, you know, folks losing jobs or whatever, but still, like, that was a game that had to be looked at. But listen, this is not ready for public consumption, possibly ever, let alone now, but moving on.
Sadly, investor priority takes over actually making a quality game. It's just, honestly, that is a very big fear of mine. Honestly, just how the industry is going. And I grew up in an age where the Xbox 360, we had that HD era where so many games was trying to push the boundaries. They were trying to figure out what's the boundary for games and what do people really want to see in games. Mm-hmm. So you had a lot of experimental ideas. Even with the late PS2 era, there's amazing games on
there. Dude, the entire PS1 collection was all experimental. Yes. Games were cheap to make. It was all brand new with this whole new 3D models, that all the polygons were all the craze, and people just took it as a license to do whatever the fuck they wanted to do, and a lot of it worked. And sadly, given how much it costs to make these days, it's formulaic. It's we need to hedge our bets, something generic enough to tap into the mainstream market on a modest budget that we can recoup all that and hopefully make some money back.
Well, it doesn't have to be generic. You could have a game that doesn't really that could be a little niche, but it really reaches out to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I take example of The Matrix, very philosophical, but it really reaches a modern audience, and we still talk about that movie to this day. And it's even talking to a younger generation of
moviegoers.
I have not watched Resurrections yet. I'm saving myself for the horror or maybe the greatness.
I would say before we move on to the next question, make a nice sinner sandwich and then buckle up, boy, for a wild ride. Let's say one of your teammates over there gets a phone call in the middle of the night. It's like, hey, this is the police. Jaden's been arrested. What have you done? What crime?
What crime have I done?
Do you think you've committed? Or which crime are you most likely to commit? Did they jail you for your thoughts on the gaming industry?
They jailed me for my opinion. That's probably what I would be jailed for.
IGN or Kotaku came and found you.
if having controversial opinions were a crime, I probably would be arrested. I have a lot of hot takes. I mean, look, I have a Dark Souls 2 poster behind me, man. Like,
I don't want to start the whole conversation. Fucking Dark Souls 2 poster back there.
I know the listeners can't see the Dark Souls 2 poster, but there is a Dark Souls 2 poster.
There
behind
is a Dark
me.
Souls 2 poster for those who are listening.
Yes,
it's taken all of my will to ignore it.
Look, I absolutely love Dark Souls 2, and
so
I
do
a lot
I.
Of people have their qual-
so do I.
Have their qualms with it. It's my personal favorite of the Dark Souls trilogy. Just it really spoke
that's
to
a
me
take.
The most. That's a take. Yes, I know. I try not to focus on
that's
that because a lot of people
have.
Yeah, but if I were to be jailed and if that was a crime, then
you
yeah,
were jailed for liking Dark Souls 2.
It's like, how dare you? How dare you? This is a crime against humanity.
Internet jail. You go straight to internet jail for liking Dark Souls 2.
I've been in internet jail too many times for my takes. Like, I'll say certain things that people really do not like. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's because I come in from a different perspective and I come in from a different generation of games. Like, I grew up with the Game Boy. Like, I was an early 2000s kid, but I grew up with the Game Boy. Like, I didn't really have like the modern generation's console to like we really got to 360. That's mm-hmm. when I really had the first modern console for the time, and even then I was playing a lot of single player games that were like experimental more than like generic. I mean, I still played my Call of Duty here and there, you know, I'll play those. I love Black Ops 1. That was a really big landmark for me. World at War, like those are the games that really stuck with me in terms of the Call of Duty franchise. But I played a lot more obscure games, like I'm surprised I did not play Deadly Premonition during that time, actually.
Exactly. And listen, when I say like generic, I don't mean like just dull and not creative. I feel like there's a certain level of risk that isn't taken because there's so much money on the line with a big AAA game where they can't go nuts with it. So there's that. So on that note, on the topic of resurrection, which your team is really good at bringing stuff back from the dead. What other video game franchise do you think is in need of a resurrection?
Of a resurrection?
Yeah.
I could do more of like a remake. So I actually was replaying Stranglehold, John Woo. So I'm a big John Woo guy.
Holy shit.
So I was
it
replaying
has been
that.
0 days since I've thought of fucking. God, I have not thought about that game in 1,000 years.
Yeah. Holy so shit. I was replaying it recently and I was really getting into it. And I was like, man. Like the first time I played it was in 2020.
You
like,
love your bullet time. Like I'm just thinking it's all clicking now.
I do love me some bullet time, but I really love John Woo, and I really got into it over the pandemic because I just didn't really have much to do with my time, and I really started getting into films. And I was like, you know what? If I'm gonna be inspired by stuff, I want to be inspired by films, because with games, I feel like I would try too much to copy it instead of trying stuff. Whereas with movies, I'm like, how would I translate that into a game, but also manipulate some of its ideas to come into mine? And that's where I really came into my own as a designer. And I'm still learning from those films that I watch. And it's a lot of great films that I've watched over the years. But I'm a really big Hong Kong film guy. So like Hong Kong films is where it's at for me. They just really connect with me personally. And I was thinking of like, okay, so Midway, a dying Midway made a Stranglehold. And my God, is that game so aggravating from a design standpoint? Because I played it in 2020. I was like, oh, this is goofy fun, whatever. You know, I played it super casually. But then I came in with a designer in mind when playing it. And I played it on the hardest difficulty. And I'm like, oh my God, there are so many holes. There are so many holes in this game. And it's just so aggravating. Like the more I play it. And I just did it just for the completionist sake. Like, if it were up to me, I'll just be like, I'm done. This game sucks. Like, honestly, from a design standpoint, there is so many holes in that game that I just really do not like. And like, if anyone were to remake a game, I need to see an actual John Woo game with a proper Chow Yun Fat. I don't need him speaking English.
This is your calling, Jaden. This is what you were putting like, this for.
Like, I would love to just see a Stranglehold remake where it actually feels like a John Woo movie. Because, like, that, like, don't get me wrong, I love Max Payne and I love all these games that incorporate bullet time, but they don't feel like John Woo movies. John Woo movies, like, you feel like you relate to the characters and you really get into the drama. Like the drama takes place over the action. The action is just a compliment to the drama.
Right.
And I feel like that's not a big part in Stranglehold. And don't get me wrong, I understand what a game, you have to draw it out. You have to make sure people get their money's worth. But like look at Max Payne. It showed that you can incorporate good gameplay with with a good story that people still talk about to this day. But Stranglehold doesn't take any of that. It's just kind of like, okay, we have very gimmicky gameplay, and that's really it. And we have some John Woo trademarks here and there, but it feels very shoehorned, where it's like, look, it's John Woo. It's John Woo related. You have the dubs. You have this or that. You have the double Berettas that have that you don't reload and stuff like that. Like, it feels like it's trying too hard to just be like, look, here we have the John Woo staples. Therefore, it's a John Woo game. And it doesn't really feel like it. There's no Cantonese script. Like, it doesn't really feel like a John Woo movie. It feels like a very English American, like, stereotypical, like, action movie. I'm like, dude, did John Woo even wrote this? I actually meant to go check if John Woo was even a writer, because I know he executive produced it. But I was like, dude, was he even a writer? Because I feel like John Woo would not be making a terrible goddamn storyline like this. Like, I was just watching this, and
he
I was like,
just put Christ, his name man. On it, got a bag of cash with the dollar sign on it, and walked yep. away. Like,
I mean, I don't blame him, but I feel bad for
making it suck that much. Sorry, too
but
bad.
I feel bad for
too late.
But I feel bad for Chow Yun-Fat the most, because he's such a great actor, and like, you start seeing his stuff in the he early 2000s. Better. And man, he gets a lot of terrible roles. Like, I was just watching a lot of his like early 2000s stuff, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, they are not pushing to what he can actually be as an actor. And man, that's what I want to see. Like, if I bought the IP for Stranglehold, and like, I would be like, hey, Chow and John, I want you guys to come on here and like really guide me on this. I want you to write the story. I want you to write the dialogue. I want it to feel John Woo. I want it to feel like you did this, not someone else, not someone putting your name on it. And I want Chow to feel like Tequila. I want him to actually feel like Tequila. Tequila was very passion driven, and he kind of shows that in Stranglehold, but like, it just feels like a generic action guy where he's just like you went in alone. I was like, no, I didn't. I brought my two friends. And he shows the two guns. And I'm like, oh, that's so American. Oh, like that's not what John Woo is. And like, trying to just pretend that it is so wrong. And it hurts me as a John Woo fan. Like, it really burns my soul. Like, it's like, no, we could have had such a better game, man. Like, I think, for example, I actually have right here Ghostbusters, the video game. Like, this is something incredible. This is something to take notes from. I've played this since I was a damn child. I remember my dad was forcing me to get off of this game. Like I still play this to this day. I've played this game on every platform it's ever released on, even the stylized ones that were coincided with this. Right. I played those at least 10 times on the Wii, the PSP, the PSP Go, if anyone remembers that.
I have a PSP the Xbox Go somewhere in my chest of junk.
I played the Xbox 360 version / Xbox One compatible one multiple times. Sometimes I even hop onto this day to play the multiplayer sometimes. Oh, the only one I haven't really played is a PS3 version, but I mean, I basically already essentially played that with the 360 version. Probably with a better frame rate too.
You know, I honestly have to admit, I'm not sure what I'm more like taken aback by or surprised by is your level of passion when it comes to last year game design as a whole and video games. Or the John Woo monologue you just had a second ago. I was not prepared for the John Woo love on this show. That was incredible.
Hey, whenever I can talk about John Woo, I can. He deserves a lot more respect and a lot more recognition. A lot of people should really look into his stuff.
Well, listen, I gotta say, Jaden, it really warms my heart knowing that when I'm older, that there's folks like you in the industry at someone your age working and bringing that passion to making great games for an old fuck like me when I'm pushing 50, that there's someone out there that understands what it takes to make great games, both from a gameplay design and then the actual passion piece that has to be in there as well. It's been so much fun talking to you, dude. This was like
same here.
Weeks in the making. We finally got it together, got on track. And before we say goodbye, where can we find more about you last year? Give us the marketing spiel. Give me all your marketing training.
The marketing training I'm not proficient in. I will not lie, but I'll try my best.
We'll throw some links in the below area, but still, give me your best shot.
So if you're interested in last year, I know I kind of hyped it all up, but I think you should try it for yourself. It's free to play. There's nothing wrong with trying it for free. And hey, if you like it, you can always play it more. There's a very dedicated community. You can join our Discord. I'm always there. So if you want to talk to me and talk about John Woo or whatever, you know, there's me. You can talk to me there. Like, don't feel like it has to be like a only strictly last year. Like, we're a community. We treat each other like family. So if you want to come in for the Discord just to talk about last year or things related to last year or even just your own personal stuff, you know, we have a general chat for that. And if it's something that interests me or someone else, they'll come in and talk with you and they're nerd out with you. So you can find the Last Year Discord in wherever it'll be linked. I don't know where it will be
linked.
There'll be links somewhere, but it'll be linked there. It's a permanent link, so don't worry about that. I'll be sure to give you guys the socials as well, like their YouTube, their Twitter. Make sure you guys keep up with that.
Awesome.
There's a lot of cool stuff that is going to be coming up with Last Year. You know, just stay tuned for that stuff. There's a lot of stuff they've talked about in the Discord, engine updates, chapter 2. So that's very exciting. So if you want to, you know, stay in tune with that, make sure you go into the Discord and YouTube. And to find me personally, where you can really find me, honestly.
It's all right, we'll find you.
I'm not a big social media presence, man.
I
just do it for the job and nothing else. I mean, I have my own personal YouTube. I've done some streams on there, but nothing really concrete. I don't know if I'm really coming back. I don't really know. Right.
Listen, you got other shit to do. You're preoccupied.
Yes. I'm very preoccupied as it is. So I don't know. I don't know if I'll be doing this YouTube thing, but if it really captures my mind again, then I'll definitely be doing it. So maybe you should link it. Maybe I think it would be best to leave my LinkedIn more than anything. That's more important at the end of the day.
we'll find you on the Discord, Jaden. It's fine.
Yes. I'll be under the moniker Toons. Everyone knows that that's my screen name. So feel free to say hi to me.
That is it. That's going to bring us to the end of this amazing show that I learned so much about this IP, its community, and I think I got to dive back in, see what it's all about. So, Jaden, thank you so much, dude. It's been a pleasure. It's been a blast. You're amazing.
Thank you. And honestly, the honor is all mine.
And he's a sweetheart.
like this has been an awesome experience. I love getting opportunities to just come on and just talk and nerd out for like an hour or two. Like, it's the greatest thing. Like,
amazing.
like they'll pay me to come on to panels and I'll just be like, dude, I don't even care about the money. Hey. I'll hop on that stage for 2 hours. Give me a water. Give me something to eat. And I'll talk. I'll talk about all my experiences because I don't want people to feel like, okay, I'm going into the games industry and I feel lost. I don't want people to feel like that. I want them to be certain that they're going to be a designer. And of course, you're always going to have that uncertainty in the back of your mind. But me, no one's going to believe this, but I was going into college for philosophy. I was applying to colleges for philosophy.
My face just dropped completely when you said that. We almost lost this one.
So I was going to be philosophy because I really like philosophy and I really got into it.
There's the money in that.
But you know, like I was like, man, I don't feel like that's my full passion. And I was like, okay, there's this one college that has game design and let me go for that and let's just see how it goes, because there's nothing wrong with making mistakes. And I feel like we make mistakes feel like, oh, it's this really bad thing that we should never make. No, you're always gonna make mistakes. You're always gonna make bad calls.
You're not gonna grow if you make mistakes.
Yeah, you're not gonna grow if you don't make mistakes. And people shouldn't be afraid of that. But also I want people to feel comfortable that, oh wow, there's someone in my position who was like that, who was uncertain about, you know, being in the games industry and they found their own footing. You know, don't feel like you have to go through I have to make it to a big company to really feel successful. No, you can be indie. You can make your own fan games, your own small projects. I mean, look at Scott Cawthon. He just made Five Nights at Freddy's as like a little side thing and it kind of blew up into this whole thing. And now he lives off of that. And that's his whole big thing now.
Yeah.
You can be the next Scott Cawthon. You can bring something to a genre that needs to be reinvigorated. You know, and I just hope that I inspire a lot of future game designers here.
Dude, you're inspirational as fuck. And with that, thank you, Jaden. Thank you, listeners. And as always, please be excellent to each other.